Hurricane Harvey, and in addition to Hurricane Harvey, the Buckeyes won this week. First game, yeah. We had the Sweet Corn Festival. We got to go to the Sweet Corn Festival for the first time with the Olivieri's yesterday, and absolutely had a blast. It was great. It was kind of misty and rainy, but it was really good. We had some amazing donuts and elephant ears and corn on the cob. It was a really, really great experience. Swappers Day. Some people going to Swappers Days this weekend up in Johnstown. Other news this week, I'm unemployed. I'm officially unemployed. Yeah, thank you. For those of you who don't know the deal, so I'm changing jobs, and I'm unemployed for the next week. So, yeah. Yeah, it's a little vacation time. Looking forward to that. So things, it's just amazing the way God has really orchestrated this entire transition in my career. It's been fascinating to watch. And I'm just humbled by His favor. It's just been so good. So next Sunday evening, I fly out to California for a week of new hire training with the new company. And I will still be here. I'm not moving anywhere. And this new job means less travel for me, so I can be more available to you all. And so I'm excited about that. But there's something else that happened in the news this week I just want to mention briefly. We've already prayed about Hurricane Harvey. I don't know if anybody saw in the news the Nashville Manifesto or the Nashville Statement. If you haven't seen that, you want to check it out. There's a group of pastors, theologians, who've gotten together to really... The purpose of this statement is to guard against heresy in the body of Christ regarding the role of marriage and human sexuality. And so they've put together a statement that defines that position. We here agree with that statement, and we want you to know that. And I was thinking, I noticed how I found out about it was for work. I use Twitter a lot. And I saw Twitter just exploding with all this rage against this statement. And as I was reading in my Bible yesterday, it reminded me of Daniel chapter 3, where the king was enraged at these three young Hebrews who would not submit to his agenda and his will. And the word of God still stands. There's nothing that's going to change that. And we need to be faithful to stand by God's word in the midst of the difficulties that, you know, we just sang, for this cause I die. And there is something about that in our daily life that there's a bit of, we need to be willing to embrace God's word fully and truly for everything it represents. At the same time, though, I want to be really careful that I also emphasize compassion. Compassion for those who don't agree with that statement. Compassion and prayer for them, because it's God's will that they come to know Him, and that we all can participate in that. And so if you would like some guidance in how to have that conversation with people, we do have some additional resources that you can read up on those issues. If you would like, just see me or Jack after church, and we can get you connected with those resources. So, to the message of the day. So, we are in a series on discipleship. And we've talked through a number of things. I do not have an insert for your bulletin today, but there's some things you might want to note down as we go. But we've been talking about our vision for this year is on the banner over here. People, God's treasure, our treasure. And we looked at that from the command to love God first and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And we looked at that in a number of different relationships. And we've got this diagram of some circles that kind of represent some of those relationships. And it's maybe doesn't look so hot, but basically you got the G and the S. That's myself and God. That's our relationship to God. You got the big circle. That's our relationship to the body of Christ here on Sunday morning. You've got that oval kind of circle. That's a smaller circle, a small group. Our relationship throughout the week as we meet in each other's homes and through Sunday school and different places, youth group, where we meet in smaller groups. And then today, we're going to talk about the one-to-one relationships today and next week. So mentoring and being a mentee or a mentor in our relationship, our walk with Christ. And then at the bottom of that diagram are some circles that are outside. So reaching those outside. So later this year, we're going to talk about evangelism and how we can reach those who need to be brought into our ever-increasing circle of love where there's always room for one more. And so that's what we're talking about through this whole year. So today, we're going to shift the focus. We've been talking about discipleship. We're going to stay on that. But now we're going to tweak that and talk about one-on-one relationships. So our relationship to the small group, to the large group, but now we're going to talk about the value of having one person in my life that I can share on a deeper level with. And they can support me and I can support them. We can hold each other accountable. We can pray for one another and grow together in our walk. So last week, well, I should kind of recap. So we started off talking about what is discipleship. And then we looked at who were the disciples and how did Jesus make disciples himself. Last week we talked about how can we make disciples. And I talked about kind of more of an implicit way or a, you know, that taught versus caught kind of paradigm. So you can explicitly teach things or implicitly you can just catch things. And when you're around long enough, you tend to take on that culture of discipleship. And we talked about that last week. So making disciples is the process of knowledge and obedience over time with others. If we boil it all down, those all key words there. It's coming to know the Lord, obeying what we've learned, and then doing that over time with other people, and that makes us into disciples. And we looked last week that in order to make disciples, you have to be a disciple first. And I've come to understand that when we talk about making disciples, the transition from, okay, I was a disciple, now I'm going to make disciples, it's not like that. It's as we continually progress in obedience, one of those steps of obedience is helping other people on their journey to know Christ and making disciples. So we're going to talk about that today. Now, as we get started, I also just want to give a big high five to our small groups. All of you who are participating in small groups and leading small groups, I am seeing so many good things. We had a testimony Sunday a few weeks ago. If you weren't here, you can listen to that, of what's coming out of our small groups, what's happening in people's lives. God is doing some amazing things. And I just want to thank you for committing to seeing your life change and others' lives change through our small groups. And if you're not plugged into a small group, we have a handout there on the way out by the welcome desk. It's got a list of all of our small groups, and you can get in touch with somebody and plug in there. But we're going to take this even to a tighter scope today, and the title of my message today is Three Reasons Why I Should Make Disciples. Three Reasons Why I Should Make Disciples. I'm going to build a case for personal discipleship and mentoring. And what I want you to come away with today is a commitment that you will find one other person that you're going to make time for in the week to either be discipled by them or to disciple them, to be a mentee or a mentor. That's what I want you to do. That's what I'm asking you today. And right away, when anybody asks me to do something, my mind starts racing. See, I got this, and I got this, and I got this to do this week. How am I going to fit in an hour with somebody else, right? And I know that's what some of you are thinking too, because some of you are like me. And so we're going to talk about how to, actually next week is going to be the how. How do I make one disciple, just one. Let's just start with one, make one disciple. How do I do that? This week is the why, though. I'm going to talk about the why. So in Matthew 28, we've read earlier in this series, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Go therefore, as all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, that command, go into all the nations and make disciples, that sounds really big, because it is, right? And we've talked about how Jesus had all these disciple followers, and he picked 12 out of them. And of those 12, there were three that were really close to him that he invested even more in, who were really, they got it, right? And so now we're going to take this scope down to just you and me, just one-on-one. And what can I do to make that Great Commission happen? And why should I even bother with it? Because this is a commitment. It's a lifestyle that I want you to adopt. And investing one-on-one in other people. So why? Why should I do that? Well, I've got a little video here I want us to watch. This is Francis Chan. Some of you may have seen him. He's a famous preacher. Let's watch what Francis has to say here.
When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Simon Says. Right? Most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for it. Simon Says is, you know, you just, Simon Says, pat your head, you know, so okay, you know, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize. You guys, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of the things we do, when he tells us to go out and make disciples, and how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? But they memorized it. You know, I tell my daughter, hey, Rach, go clean your room. She doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, I memorized what you said. You said, Rach, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said? Talk about how much we know. It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with Scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I would start making disciples.
That's the whole message right there. We could be done right there. Jesus said, that this is the first reason why we make disciples. Jesus told us to. All right, it's like that ultimatum that your parents, when they run out of things, the reasons to tell you to do something, because I said so. Right? Well, Jesus told us to make disciples. And so that's the first reason we want to think about here as we talk about making disciples. Why do I want to make time in my week to attend a small group or to spend time one-on-one with somebody? And this progress of knowledge and obedience, that's what discipleship is. I learn more through the Word, through talking with others. I find something else out about Christ, and I try to obey that. And I learn something else, and I try to obey that. And that's the Christian walk, learning and obeying. And there comes a point in your walk when you get to Matthew chapter 28. And it says, go make disciples. This is the next thing for me to learn and obey. And somehow, we kind of fast forward and just jump on into Acts then and keep going. We look how other people did it, and sometimes we don't take that personally. How do I? Does that really apply to every one of us? Yes, the great church at large is responsible for making disciples. But at the end of the day, if we really get down to it, tell you what, maybe you've heard this before. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got very angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, but nobody did what anybody could have done. that's what the Great Commission is like. We're supposed, everybody knows we're supposed to be making disciples, but is anybody doing it? Like Francis said in this video. And when it all comes down to the buck stops with each one of us, what am I doing to make a disciple? And let's make it really easy. We're not going to win the whole world. It is physically impossible for me to go to every nation, but I can start right here where I am with one person. And we talked earlier in the series about that first step begins with leading someone to Christ. That's their first knowledge of coming to know who Christ is and obeying His command to repent. That's that very first step in becoming a disciple. It's knowing who Christ is and following His command to repent. But then after that, somebody needs to take that person and spend time with them and show them what are the other things that Christ asked us to do and how can we grow our life in that direction. So that's what making a disciple is about, is finding that one person. And maybe you are that new young believer and you need somebody to teach you. And so that's what I'm asking us here today to look at, is which side of this equation am I on? And who's the one person that I can find to spend time with in my week? So love one another is very personal. The gospel is about a person. It's about Jesus. And on the other half of that equation is each one of us. It's about each one of us being touched by the love of Christ. And how does that happen? It happens by the hands of someone else that He has moved to put into their life. It's one way that happens. So we want to look then at the fact that the church don't grow if I don't grow. The church don't grow if I don't grow. If I am not obeying the command to make disciples. And again, I want to be really careful here. There is so much grace. I don't want anybody to walk away feeling beat up. But these are Jesus' own words, is to make disciples. So let's start. There's the whole world out there we want to win. Let's start with one person. Let's find one person that I can make a difference in their life this week. So that's the first reason why I should take this command personally to make disciples. The second reason that we should take this command seriously is because there is a predator. A predator. You may have seen the movie. When was Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger? When was that released? In the 90s, 80s, right? Remember that Predator movie? Yeah, we've got this predator who's on the loose. And Scripture talks about this predator a lot. We have an adversary. There's a battle going on. And if we don't do anything, he's going to. So another reason that we should seriously look at my own responsibility in taking the Great Commission seriously is to... A good offense is the best defense. How do they say that, right? The best defense is a good offense, right? We need to offensively go after people who need to be protected. Now, you'll see this picture up here. This is my crude PowerPoint artwork. Keep that up there for a while, Peter. So we got happy sheep in the middle, in the green zone. That's because we just sang a song about Psalm 23. You know, the pleasant pastures and the still water, and that's where the Lord is my shepherd, and He likes to keep me there. But sometimes we kind of wander off. And if you think about a big flock of fluffy sheep, in the middle, it's warm, kind of like the penguin thing, where they all like rally, and the ones on the outside take the brunt of the cold, and the ones on the inside are all nice and warm, right? You know, so you got the sheep in the middle, they're all good and happy, and if a lion or a bear or a wolf are going to, because, I don't know, I have you seen the Ralph and Sam, Looney Tunes, right? They're clocking in, punching the clock today, and the wolf is after the sheep, and you got the sheep dog, and he's trying to protect the sheep. Go watch those on YouTube. It's great. It's exactly what we're talking about today. There's this wolf out there who's after the sheep. And so... you've got these sheep on the inside, but if I were a wolf, I would go for the ones that are on the edge. where I can get to them, right? And so if we imagine the circle as kind of God's flock, and we could just look at around this morning, let's say this is our flock here, and if we got people that are on the edge, or worse yet, who have left, they've wandered off. Jesus talked about the shepherd that left the 99 to go for that one. He crossed rivers and mountains. It didn't say all that in the story, but you know, you could imagine, you know, this the shepherd's going looking for his one lost sheep, right? The reason why is he knows that sheep's not going to last long out there on its own. And this is one of the reasons why we need to be actively involved in one another's lives. It's an awful conversation to have with the person on the outside when they sit across the table from you and they say, "I'm happy now." Because Satan has twisted their mind to the place where they don't realize what they've left. And they feel like the only place they can find happiness is now on their own. And Satan won. It started with an idea that became a temptation. Then they acted on that temptation. And then they followed hard after that temptation in sin until they finally removed themselves so far from the flock that they're no longer Satan's concern anymore. He's won. He's got what he wanted. And how does that process stop? As we have to be involved in each other's lives. If there's an area of temptation that I'm struggling with, I need to tell somebody. Right? And how do I do that? In a one-on-one relationship where I can be accountable to somebody. We can pray for one another. We can call each other at 3 a.m. if we need to. A relationship that will guard against that drift that can happen, where Satan finds somebody who's close to the edge of the flock and he can pick them off. We don't want that to happen. We want people to be in the happy zone, in the green, in the middle, not on the red and the edge, right? We want them to be happy in the middle. Well, there's a number of passages that talk about this. Luke 22. Jesus is talking to the disciples in the book of Luke. This is at the Last Supper even. And he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and once you have, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Jesus was telling Peter, "Look, Peter, you've got a lot of confidence right now, but I know what's coming up next, and Satan has demanded to take you out. But I have prayed for you." See, there's that one-on-one relationship. Praying for one another in our areas of weakness, strengthening one another to make it through those times. And Jesus said, "Peter, when you come through this, you're going to turn around and you're going to have a lot to share with others. You're going to be able to really strengthen others because of what you've experienced." And that's exactly what happened. And so that's what this whole discipleship relationship is. Somebody helps me, and I make it through, and then I turn around and I help the next person that's coming through that same thing. And that's this value of spending time with one another. I'm 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. This is a really famous passage if you want to turn there. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." This is that predator. Satan is wandering around, prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone on the edge, wandering, not really aware that they're leaving the shepherd, not really aware of how far they've drifted, and Satan wants to pick them off. So part of our deal as believers, as disciples, is to go find those people. Look around. There are people who aren't here. Now, we've got a lot of people on vacation. It's Labor Day weekend. But you think about over the last month, are there people you haven't seen here on Sunday morning? People that came to your small group and then they stopped showing up? Go after those people. That's what Jesus told us to do, to go after them. And that looks like, can look like a one-on-one relationship with that person where you find out what's going on in your life. Where are you struggling? And you begin to build into that person and bring them towards the happy green zone there in the middle where they're safe again. So Satan doesn't pick them off. That's what we're about. So two reasons then. Why should I make disciples? Number one, Jesus said so. Number two, there's a predator out there who's going to take them out. And there's something I can do about that. This has eternal significance in that person's life. Me taking an hour or two out of my week to spend with somebody can mean all the difference for them. So let's look at the third reason then. This is an embarrassing picture. This is actually my garden right now. I have 3 4x12 raised beds in my side yard. And some of you have, I have proudly shown you pictures on my phone and on Facebook of corn and sunflowers and squash and beans and all these things that once grew in these very same boxes. All right. Now, I told my wife the other day, you know, we were at Hartford Fair, and the people have their vegetables entered into the fair, you know. And I thought, I should take these weeds. Some of these weeds, they're 3 or 4 feet tall. I did not plant those. They just showed up. I have some state fair championship weeds in my side garden. And what did I have to do to make that happen? Nothing. You know why that is? You know why the weeds often win? Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 3. It's been a while since I've gotten to Genesis. You guys know how much I like to spend in those first few chapters. Let's flip all the way back to the beginning of the book. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Let's talk about where weeds come from. Genesis chapter 3 here, verses 17 through 19. Adam and Eve have sinned, and God's reading them their Miranda rights. This is what happens now because you have sinned. He talks to Eve. Now he's addressing Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles, it shall grow for you." Notice that? The ground's going to do this for you. You don't even have to do anything. It's just the ground's going to give you thorns and thistles. Aren't these pretty? Isn't this cool? Look at these weeds. Oh, here's another one. Look, where did that come from? "And you will eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So the weeds are a consequence. Thorns and thistles, weeds. And it's amazing when the problem with those weeds, put that picture back up there again. You know the problem with weeds? Weeds go to seed, and they make more weeds. All by themselves. Now, here's part of the problem. This is very fertile soil. I put very special soil mix and fertilizer and all that in here, but then I didn't really take care of it. Now, here's the real kicker. The left and right, there's 3 of these garden boxes. My sweet wife took the time to weed them out this spring, and we put black plastic on the one on the left and the one on the right. There's actually black plastic and cinder blocks covering the entire garden. You couldn't tell it. The weeds sprung up around the edges and they're like folded over. You can't even see the black plastic anymore. We tried to keep the weeds down and they will still find a way of coming up. And these ones on the left, they've got like full heads with all kinds of seeds just waiting to go do their thing. And that's what happens in our lives when we don't pay attention to our soul. There's a natural drift that happens. It's like when you're at the beach and you're out in the current. you will just slowly move, make your way down the beach, and you're not swimming, you're not trying, you're just going to keep making your way. And then you look up and, oh wait, my umbrella is way down there. How did I get down here? That drift that happens in your life. See, when God told Adam about this, he said, there's going to be weeds. That happens. That's the consequences of the curse. It happens in our own heart. There are weeds. Satan just loves planting weeds in there and say, watch this one grow. I bet they won't find this for a couple weeks. All right? And before you know it, there's this weed. And the problem, you know, Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares. There's different parables about that. But the problem is, when we look at each other's lives, sometimes it's hard to see the fruit because of all the weeds. Now, I promise you, somewhere in that middle box in that picture, there's some strawberries in there somewhere. We've had 3 or 4 years of strawberry plants, and the cool thing about strawberries is because I'm lazy, strawberries are almost like weeds. They kind of send out runners, and they'll keep making, and so I just didn't give a lot of attention, and you can't hardly find the strawberry plants in there anymore because of the state fair champion weeds that are right next to them. Right? And that's what happens in our lives. If we do not give attention to the care of our soul and someone else in our life, that we can see these weeds springing up. And now Jesus told us to be careful how you address someone with the issues in their life before you take care of your own, right? But we need to help one another. We need to, when you see weeds springing up in someone else's life, you need to talk to them. Because Jesus talked about this in Matthew 13, if you want to flip over there. Matthew 13, the famous parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown. There's that predator again. And this is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no firm root in himself. It's only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it out, and it becomes unfruitful. And then there's that one whom seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth 600-fold, some 60, some 30. In this classic gardening passage, ties back to what we just read in Genesis chapter 3. There are weeds that will spring up. And discipleship is about getting in the weeds with people. I get itchy when I get in the weeds. If I pick beans, if I pick corn, my arms break out with red welts. I can't touch those leaves. I have to put on long sleeves like my grandpa used to do when he was in the garden. But when we get in the weeds with people, it's itchy, it's uncomfortable. And that's the work of discipleship. Because if I'm not in there helping them, fertilizing, encouraging, strengthening the right things, helping them, giving them where they're blind to the weeds or don't have the strength to remove those weeds, that one-on-one relationship can make all the difference in someone else's life. So, 3 reasons then. Why do we make disciples? 1, Jesus told us to. 2, there's a predator who will take them out if we don't do something about it. 3, because there's weeds. And those weeds will just come on their own and choke things out if we are not intentional, just drifting along in our Christian life, thinking everything will probably just work out okay. It may not. Because those weeds will come up automatically, and it takes work to remove those weeds. 3 reasons why it's important for us to take an hour, 2 hours of our week and invest that in someone else. as a disciplee or a disciple. If I am the disciple, I need to recognize my situation. I'm new to Christ. I need to learn. Or maybe I've been a believer for a long time and I find myself drifting and I'm no longer where I thought I was with the Lord. And I need to get back to the Lord. I need someone to step into my life and encourage me and strengthen me. And that's why there's a real imperative for each one of us to take the Great Commission personally. So there's some resources I want to share with you today. These are on the back table in the lobby on your way out. There are three different things here I've got for you. So number one, this is the Life Transformation Group little brochure by Neil Cole. LTGs, they call them. And I went through this with a peer several years ago. And it was really helpful. It's just, they've distilled, you know, what do I do? We're going to talk more about this next week. What do I actually do with someone? And once we, okay, I've agreed to meet with them, what do we do? This is a really great little easy-to-follow discipleship model. And there's a little bookmark here. On one side, it has accountability questions that really get in the weeds. And you're supposed to ask each other these questions every week. And then on the other side, there's a handy little place of writing down the names of people you want to see saved and scriptures. You can pray the word for some people and agree together for somebody people you want to see saved in your life. Really great little tool. There's the Life Now Bible series. There's three of these. Begin in Christ, grow in Christ, mature in Christ. What do we do when we get together for that hour or two a week? You can go through one of these. And these are even available for free on our church website as PDFs. If you go to inewsong.com and you click on the little Grow tab across the top, there's three. Each one of these is available there to free to download. Or we actually have a ton of these on hand. So you can't really find these on Amazon. These are a Great Commission special. These are one of ours. But these are really good that you can begin, grow, mature in Christ. And they walk you through, how do I grow in the Lord? Another one that I'm going through right now with somebody that I'm meeting with, we've been meeting several months, and this book is called Run in Such a Way. Those of you who went to the men's retreat last year, you remember Tom Hauser. Tom wrote this book. He's one of our pastors at Grace Point on the north side of town. And you can find this one on Amazon. And I have the Kindle version that I use when I make my notes as I'm reading through. And it gives you a really good conversation. At the end of each chapter, there's little conversation starters and just really good little book. Of course, you can use the Bible. Just go old school. Just go straight into the Word, right? Read the Bible for what it is. Or you can use some of these resources. Now, I would only ask you, we have very few of these out there on the table. These are about $7 on Amazon. And I'm not here to promote anybody or help them make number one book on Amazon, right? But just some resources for you to take. These are free. They're on the table. I would ask you to only take one if you plan on using it. Don't take one out of curiosity because somebody else could need that, all right? But if you actually can commit to using these resources, then feel free to take them. They're yours. And next week, we're going to talk about how, more practically, what does it look like? Okay, we know why. It is actually really important that I invest in somebody else's life and that they invest in my life. But then next week, we're going to look at what does that look like? What do we do when we get together? How do we structure this relationship? Those types of things we're going to talk about next week. So the desired outcome then is that you will spend this next week thinking and praying about people. Some of you, we have many newcomers here. You may not know enough other people to know who to go ask that you would like to be in a discipleship relationship with them. We have these connect cards in your bulletin. One of the reasons for these is so that you can let us know. You can always just come and talk to one of us, but if you'd like, if you would like somebody to be involved in a one-on-one relationship with you to help you grow in the Lord, just write in your name and your contact information on the back. Just write in there, I would like somebody to help me grow. Or I would like to help somebody else grow. Maybe you feel like the Lord has really blessed me in my walk and I want to reach out and build into other people's lives. Please let us know. This is just an easy way for you to do that. As we take the offering coming up here in a few minutes, just write that in and let us know if you would like somebody involved on that level in your life. So this week, I want you to pray and seriously think about, what can I do with my time, right? Our schedules, that's really where we're focused in a lot of our time, our commitments, we're running here and there. I want you to think about, what can I do this week in my schedule to begin to make time for just one other person that I can help and they can help me? Or if you're on the other side of that equation, there's two sides, disciplee, discipler, mentee, mentor, maybe reach out and let us know that you would like to spend time with someone to grow. And this is in addition to our small groups. This is in addition to Sunday morning. We want you to grow because we don't want you to get picked off by the predator. We don't want weeds creeping up and choking out the life that's in you that Christ has given you. We want to see you grow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for these many examples that you've given us of how important it is that we really connect with you on a deep level, and how vital it is to share that with another person in our life who can help us and show us what to do and how to grow, answer our questions. I'm new to being a Christian, or I've been a Christian for years, but there's this one weed. It's a championship weed in my life, and I've tried to get it out, and I can't. God, I pray that you would help us to find these opportunities, Lord, that you would direct us to the right people, or that we can connect with and rescue them from the predator. Lord, rescue our own selves from the predator, Lord, in areas of temptation. And so for these things, Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful. We thank you for the gift of our brothers and sisters that are here on Sunday morning, that love us, that care about us. And I pray that you would help us to connect, that you would build the sovereign relationships, Lord, in this body that would help us when we look back 1 year from now, like we talked about last week, we look back 1 year from now, and it's amazing how far we've come in our walk with you. And that's the desire of our heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.